Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Richard Piper and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we ought to hear from you. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about with us, give us a call right now. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Richard Piper.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're studying or focusing on assurance this month, and why that's important, and you know why you might want some assurance in terms of your Christian walk. Here's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible, and it's John 5:24. I'll read it to you. I think you'll see why it's one of my favorites. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Now, those of you who are afraid that you've lost your salvation, honestly, what you're doing is calling Jesus a liar at this point.
Yeah.
He said, if you have accepted me, you believe the Father who sent me, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. You do not come into judgment, and you have passed from death to life. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get much plainer than that.
Right.
What do you think, Andrew?
Oh, this is a powerful passage, Richard. You're absolutely right. I mean, first of all, we've got fear of judgment, but he says we don't come into judgment. Second of all, we've got fear of losing life, and he says we've passed out of death into life. Mm-hmm. So it comes down to the truthfulness of God. And, you know, quite frankly, the new covenant is a promise between God and God.
Yes.
And so we have to look at one side of the equation and say, is God a liar? And then look over at the other side of the equation and say, is God a liar? Because it's God and God who secure this thing. So I love how you framed this. It really is about the truthfulness of God. And so, you know, I was talking with someone the other day. They said, well, their friend is a born-again believer, but they're freaked out that they may end up in hell. They're freaked mm-hmm. out that they may lose their salvation because they've done a lot of lying. And I said, well, do you think God has done a lot of lying? And they said, of course not, of course not. Well, let me tell you what God has said. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, and nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Now, is God lying? Well, of course not. So this whole thing hinges not on the quantity of lies we've told, but really on the quantity of lies that God has told, and that sums to a zero.
Yeah.
He is a truth teller, and that's where we put our confidence. That's where we get our assurance.
Yeah, this kind of an issue to me, it's so tragic that so many people struggle with this because there is no need to struggle.
Yeah, God is truth.
Yeah, God is truth.
Yes.
He has spoken certain things about us. We've passed from death to life. We are righteous. We are justified. We are forgiven. It's about time we take him at his word. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't feel bad when we mess up. Well, of course we should, because we hurt ourselves. We hurt people. But that's not going to cost you your job, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's discipline to be learned and to go through. There are temporal issues that will result from this, but there is nothing eternal that can happen to you or me as long as we belong to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Period. End of story.
That's the gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, guys, eternal security is a fairly important subject. And if you are a new creation, you are safe and secure in Jesus. You are eternally secure. But not everyone has that assurance. What about you, friends? We've been talking about a wonderful new resource that can help. It's called Eternal Security. Richard, tell our listeners how it can help.
Well, Bob and I are going to look at three aspects of this. I mean, you could look at 100 aspects of it, but we wanted to keep it manageable. We're going to look at the problem, the fact that sin was the issue. Sin separated us from God. We're going to look at the Son, Jesus himself. What was his response by the Father's orders, if you will? What was his response to this sin situation? And then what happens when you've accepted Jesus? And that's called being sealed.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
What does that mean? And the short answer is, Sin was a problem. Jesus solved it. When I accept him, I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Yes. End of story.
End of story.
And
nothing's breaking that.
That's the point of this series that we're putting together.
Well, it is called Eternal Security, and we want everyone to have that assurance of their salvation. And as our way of saying thanks for your support of Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a copy as you make your gift this month. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, as always, you can use basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, request your copy of Eternal Security. As I said, that's a rather important subject that we all deal with at one point or another. Well, guys, we had a question from an anonymous listener, very short and sweet. Can we disappoint God?
Great question. I love it, guys, because it causes us to recognize the nature of God and the foreknowledge of God and the fact that God knows everything. I mean, God is actually the author of the book of Revelation. He knows the future. So what is disappointment? Let's talk about that. I mean, disappointment is I had expectations for you and you fell short of my expectations, mm-hmm. and therefore I'm disappointed with you. Well, is God up in heaven with a furrowed brow going, man, I can't believe Richard today. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Well, we all know the answer to that on one level. We all know that God has already seen our sins, past, present, and future. He already dealt with them on the cross. He already took them away. So it's interesting that the New Testament talks about us pleasing God, but it doesn't talk about us disappointing God. And I think that the reason for that is because God knows the future. He doesn't have unrealistic expectations. He recognizes that we all stumble in many ways. My goodness, he watched Israel for thousands of years making promises and saying they would do better and rededicating and recommitting.
Really,
we mean it this time, Lord. And yet that story was one of a failure upon failure. And, you know, God in a swivel chair ultimately saying, I turned away from them, says the Lord, because they did not remain faithful. So I'm just saying that God has seen it all. He has already seen everything. So if you have been picturing your Heavenly Father up in heaven with expectations that you have fallen short of, well, think again. It is time to rethink the love and acceptance of your Heavenly Father. He has seen every hair on your head. He knows what you're about through and through. He's seen your failures. He's seen your fallings, your stumblings. And in fact, that's the purpose of the cross, so that he doesn't take those things into account. Blessed is the man whose sins are not taken into account. And guys, that's why God is never disappointed in us. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, he's made us righteous and made us holy and made us blameless, even down to our bodies. Think about that. Mm-hmm. There's not one part of you that God doesn't love. He has even said that our bodies are holy and acceptable to him. And that, to me, is just incredible that we get to wake up every day knowing that through and through, God is for us, not against us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think one of the issues that this demonstrates is the weakness of human language, because, you know, we are always calling God Father. And it's a beautiful analogy, but we can stretch the analogy to the breaking point, because we always look at our own dads, or we imagine ourselves as fathers and go, oh, man, how many times have I messed up? Or how many times was I disappointed in my kids and all of that? Well, God is a father like no other. Jesus is the Son like no other. And the Spirit clearly is a spirit like no other. They are not human. They are God. So we cannot, I'll use a big word, anthropomorphize them.
Ooh.
And pass our traits on to them. What they are trying to do, what they, one God, is trying to do, is to transfer their characteristics to us.
Yeah.
They're conforming us to their image, not the other way around.
Yeah, that is a big word. Reminds
Sorry.
Me of reminds me of another one. Like, who is your paleontologist? Well, okay. Humor on Basic Gospel today, everybody. We have an open line for you. If it's about 9 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, the lines are wide open for you. We'd love to hear your voice on this broadcast. 844-322-2742 is good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. I have this question from Maria. She says, can you please explain Colossians 1:23? And it reads, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. The person I was talking to, she says, if it's not possible to be moved away from the hope of the gospel, then nothing would have been said about it. So, guys, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it certainly is possible to hear the gospel and move away from it. We saw the Hebrews do that. They flirted with the gospel, and then they decided that Jesus was not Messiah. You can see the Colossians potentially doing that, hearing the gospel, getting a taste tester of the gospel, so to speak, but not investing in the meal. And I think the thing that has clouded us about this passage, if you continue, and also another passage, if you hold fast. Both of these expressions, continue and hold fast, can be very difficult or challenging for us to understand. But I think it is because we have grown accustomed to a sinner's prayer, which is not necessarily, you know, it's not prescribed in the Bible. There aren't 25 magic words. And then secondly, you know, what began 200 years ago in tent revivals is the evangelist would stand up front on stage, call everybody down, say, repeat after me, and now, boom, you're saved. Well, for some people, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, it is, as Galatians 3 describes, it's hearing with faith. And hearing happens over a day, a week, a month, even a year. People progressively hear bits and pieces of the gospel. And so if you were to line up three human beings right now, let's say that one person has heard an hour of the gospel, another person has heard 20 hours of the gospel, and another person has heard 200 hours, and you were writing a letter to this group of people, all with different exposures to the gospel, what could you say? What would they in common need to hear? And here it is. Continue. Hold fast to what you've heard. Continue hearing. Continue believing. Because Paul knew that if he wrote these Colossians, some of them had that hour, some of them had those 20 hours, some of them had 200 hours of exposure to good, solid teaching. He didn't know where each person was at, but his advice to them was, continue in what you've heard. And I think that's so important because, you know, we're trying to draw a line in the sand and say that people are not in process, but many people are in the process of being saved, and we may not have a conscious memory of that born-again moment, but we know this, that if we hear the gospel and believe the gospel and respond to the gospel, at some point in that process, the Spirit of God comes to live in each and every one of us. So that's why his advice is continue. This is not about a Christian losing salvation. This is not about having to hang on tight to your salvation or it might fall out of your hands. It's not delicate. Your salvation is something that God has permanently secured.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
Well, it is again Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob, what's your name? Richard Piper and me. On this edition, I'm Bob Davis, and glad you're with us. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial if you're hearing the live broadcast at about a little after 12 minutes after 3 Central Time. And we'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Let's go and talk to our friend Brad, listening in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Bob.
Hey there.
Andrew and Richard.
Hello.
I have a technical question. I talked to Bob, I guess you guys on Monday. When God created Adam in his image, according to his likeness, we know that Adam fell. And we also know from Genesis 5 that when Adam had Seth, and I'm assuming with Cain and Abel too, but when he had Seth, Seth was born in Adam's image and Adam's likeness. So I don't see anything in the New Testament and maybe I'm not looking correctly, how and what did God restore as far as his image and his likeness in us?
Okay. All right. Well, that's a great question. I mean, for those who've been tracking with what Brad has said thus far, we're in Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. And, you know, we all run around saying we're all in the image of God. We're all in the image of God. Well, hang on. Hit the pause button there. Put the brakes on for a second and let's rethink that. Because, you know, Seth was born in the image of Adam. That was after the fall. We are born in Adam. That's why we need to be born again in Christ. And so that's part of the problem, is that, you know, most of the planet doesn't even understand the issue. They don't even understand the problem, the core problem that we have as humanity. They're looking at symptoms. They're saying, well, gosh, I'm lying and I'm stealing and I'm, you know, stealing hubcaps on the weekends and I've got a sinning problem here. And they think behavior improvement is the answer. So they prescribe education and they prescribe church attendance. And they think that Christianity is a sin maintenance program or something. And so, you know, we miss that core issue. But the core issue is spiritual death, and we need life because we're not in the image of God spiritually until we're recreated in the image of God. And this question you've posed, Brad, it makes me think of Colossians 3:10. It says that we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So I would say, first of all, we got a new spirit. That's a pretty big deal. We got a new heart. That is an amazing thing God has done for us. You've got new passions, new desires at the core of your being. So a new heart, a new spirit. And then you say, well, what about your mind? Well, your mind is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of God as creator. So there's a process and then there's a finished work. And, you know, Richard, I would say that it's important to distinguish those, because, you know, sometimes we meet Christians who think everything is in process. Well, hang on. God has already put his life in you. Mm-hmm. Hang on. You're already the new self. Hang on. You don't have a wicked heart. You've got a new resurrection heart. So some things are not in process. Some things have been done. They were done at salvation. Are you still learning? Are you still growing? Absolutely. Are you getting your mind renewed? Colossians 3:10 says, yes, you're getting renewed in knowledge. So there's something going on at the mind level where we are learning and growing, but let's not neglect the born-again miracle, the fact that you were crucified, buried, and raised with Christ to newness of life. So to me, guys, that is restoring spiritually to us what was lost in the garden for Adam and Eve.
Yeah, that is the key point. This is a spiritual restoration. This doesn't mean that somehow my flesh, what you see of me, the flesh and bones that I have, are somehow being restored to the likeness of Jesus. They're not. In fact, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that what we know of as our bodies will not inherit immortality. Yeah. They must be changed. They must be completely changed, recreated physically. So when we talk about the image of God, we're not talking about a physical reality. We're talking about the absolute spiritual truth of having your spirit renewed, your heart renewed, and your mind in process. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. In just a moment, we're going to go to Marietta, Georgia, and talk to David. But first, I want to talk a little bit about Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which has found a great response, a large response in the lives of many people all over this country and in foreign countries as well. And friends, if you're struggling in your Christian life, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace can point you to the answer. To order your copy, visit basicgospel.net and just click the link at the top of the home page. Again, it's basicgospel.net and it's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, how the Christian life is really supposed to work. Again, you'll find it, as I said, at basicgospel.net. Now let's talk to David, listening in Marietta. Hi, David. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Indeed. Loud and clear.
Appreciate it. So my question is kind of knowing God's will in your life, it's a question I've struggled with many a time being a Christian. And I guess it's kind of like sometimes, you know, I know you got to seek the Lord and pray and say, is this what you want for me? You know, what direction you want me to go in? But I think sometimes, too, you can kind of drive yourself crazy with that and wonder,
yeah,
you know, even when you're trying to focus on your career path or, you know, whatever it is, I guess there must be a balance. Sometimes I kind of feel bad because, you know, I maybe think, you know, maybe that wasn't the way he wanted me to go down or, you know, accept a certain post or, you know, I don't know, even go on a vacation or something. And
yeah,
kind of like, I know we got to stay prayerful about those things, but I don't know if you can kind of follow me here.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I actually resemble your question. So,
well, you know, it says in all your ways, or I'm getting this wrong, but in all you do, do as unto the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know there are times when, you know, he might say, hey, look, I want you to pick up and to head off in this direction, and you know, whether mm-hmm. that's the mission field or whatnot. But
okay,
I don't know if it's always healthy for a Christian to you know,
obsess.
I'll let you take over there.
Okay. Yeah, we can obsess over that. And I think you're talking about the paralysis of analysis where we examine every move. And, you know, when I was a young person, I was taught that God's will is like a series of doors. And you go through one door and, well, you've only got a limited number of doors after that. If you choose the wrong door, then you've limited yourself for life. And so it is with God's will. You might be doomed to his permissive will. You might be doomed to some sort of lesser existence. You become a black sheep in God's family. Sure, you're still saved, but you're out of God's will now. And so, you know, what I decided to do, my friend, is basically look at the Word of God and see what it actually says about God's will. And I was surprised. I was surprised to find that it says things like this: give thanks in all things, pray without ceasing, for this is God's will for you. Apparently, God's will is simply to give thanks for Jesus, to give thanks in all things, to talk to Dad, that's pray without ceasing over a lifetime, be real with him, talk with him, share with him, be transparent. So God's will is communication with the Father. God's will is giving thanks for Jesus. And I look at Paul's remarks about marriage. I mean, marriage is one of the biggest decisions we can make. And he says, do I not have the right to take along a believing woman as my wife? And then what does he decide to do? He doesn't exercise that right. He has freedom, but he decides, you know what? I might not come home one night. I recognize my Christian brothers are being tortured and killed and dragged from their homes. And here I am, a traveling apostle. I'm gonna exercise my freedom to not marry, even though he's got a right to marry. And then I see his plans for Rome. He packed his suitcase many times, but was prevented. He didn't have a secret pipeline to decision making. What he knew is God's will is Jesus Christ. God's will is Jesus in you and through you. It's simple, my friend, and liberating.
David, thank you for your call. We appreciate hearing from you. Quickly, we're going to go to Linda listening in Greeley, Colorado. Linda, you're on the air. We're in limited time, so what is your question for us today?
Hello. Reading in my prayer book today about it's the Apostles' Creed, and it says where Jesus went down to hell before he went back to heaven, and a lot of people have different opinions on that.
I mean, we recognize that Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say today you'll be with me in hell for 3 days and then we'll go up to paradise. So Jesus didn't spend 3 days in hell. He went straight to heaven. And many people have had an erroneous idea regarding that. The truth is Jesus's work on the cross and in the resurrection is enough to save us. He didn't need to go to hell.
Yes. Linda, thank you so much for your question. Glad to hear from you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to call us. Sorry we're out of time for this particular edition, and call back if you have further questions. You know, friends, if the true gospel message you hear every day on this broadcast is making a difference for you, please remember that others also need to hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Your gift will help us reach them. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you make your gift this month, we'll send you a copy of our series, Eternal Security. Well, we're out of time. And now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley joining us today, and for all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here for the study in Ephesians tomorrow on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.